1, which literally sets the stage for where we're going today. So let's read John 8. We'll read over 21 again, then we'll read down through verse 30. John 8, 21. So he said to them again, Jesus said, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews, be the Pharisees here, so the Jews said, will he kill himself? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. He said to them, you're from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They didn't understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. We're going to look today at being spiritually blind. Being spiritually blind. It is a condition that is so common in our culture today. As we look at this, it's going to explain to you all of those questions that you have, like, how could they be, or why are they, or I can't believe that they would, all those kind of things, okay? It's going to answer that question for us today. Perhaps you've heard the saying, two ships passing in the night. I don't know if that comes from a movie. I don't know if it's a famous thing from literature. I've just heard it, okay? Two ships passing in the night. And what is being described there in that statement are two individuals in the same domain, just not communicating, not understanding one another, just passing in the night. Through the years, I've heard this tragically in too many marriages. Well, I don't know her. I don't know him. We just exist, and we've just grown apart, those kind of things. Same deal. Two ships passing in the night. And it can happen in the home. You know, you have kids, and you've raised them, and now it's just, who are they? And those kids are asking about their parents. Who are they? And then in the workplace, in the church, even, two ships passing in the night. No communication. There's talk, but no communication. No understanding. Two ships passing in the night. Well, that's what's happening in our passage today that we read. The Pharisees and Jesus, the Pharisees don't understand. They don't understand. Jesus, who understands all things perfectly, is trying to tell them who he is, but they're not getting it. There's no communication. They're talking, but there's no communication. I want us to listen into this conversation this morning, if you would with me, please. And then we want to go to a place that is a condition of being spiritually blind. You'll see that in just a minute. First thing Jesus said in verse 21, actually the last thing he said is, where I am going, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot come. We looked at that last week, if you were with us in some depth, okay? And I hope you dwelled on that thought this week. Are you going where he is? That's the life changer right there. That's all that matters. Every one of us has a destiny. We have a destiny, not in this life, but there is an eternal destiny. and most people in the world, Christian and non-Christian, have a concept of some kind about something after this life. Jesus said to this group, where I'm going, you cannot come. Okay? Now, to that statement, the Jews respond in this conversation, will he kill himself? Now, let me explain why that doesn't seem to be the thing that you would say in response to what he said. Okay? But they say, will he kill himself? When they were wondering, he said, where I am going, you cannot come. Will he kill himself? The Jews, to some degree, are mocking Jesus here. Okay? But also, the Jews taught that suicide, they condemned it greatly, that suicide is a particularly heinous sin. And they believed and taught that anyone who committed suicide would be banished to Hades permanently. The worst part of Hades, permanently. Now, the Jews believed in Sheol, okay, the place of the dead. There was Hades, the bad place, and they're saying that you would go to the worst place of the bad place if you committed suicide. And there's a place called paradise, all right? That's the Jewish concept of what happens when you die physically. All right, so what the Jews are saying here, will he kill himself? They're saying, well, if he's saying he's going somewhere where we cannot come, we're never going to commit suicide and go there, so that must be where he's going. Do you see that thinking? That's weird, isn't it? Okay? They don't understand. They say, well, he must be going to Hades. He must be going to the worst part of Hades. Ah, he's probably going to commit suicide. And when he does, we're not going there. So where he's going, we cannot come. That must be what he means. They missed it, didn't they? They missed it. They assumed that they would never commit such heinous acts, such gross sins. So that's what Jesus must be talking about. Well, Jesus responds to that. And he said, you are from below, I am from above. You ever been in one of these conversations? I mean, just, you know, one of those things, two ships passing in the night. You are from below, Jesus said to them, I am from above. He's trying to explain to them why they can't understand what he's just taught. Where I'm going, you cannot come. He's trying to explain it to you. He said, you're from below, I'm from above. You're from the sinful fallen world. You're of the sinful fallen world. And before you chuck a few rocks at the Pharisees, so are you and me. That's where we're from as well. Okay? He said, you're from below. You're from a sinful fallen world. This invisible spiritual system of evil that is dominated by Satan. The prince of the power of the air. That's who Satan is. Okay? When he was cast out of heaven, when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, who became the devil and Satan, he was cast down to the earth, the scripture said. This is the prince. He is the prince of the power of the air. Okay? He is not all powerful, but he is powerful in this domain. All right? And he works through those emissaries, those other fallen angels, a third of all the angels, in fact, who have become the demonic. Some of them are so bad, they're still chained up, okay? But he works through his demonic forces. And so Jesus is telling them, you're from below. You're of this world. You're from this invisible spiritual system of evil that's dominated by Satan. This system is opposed to God. We were all enemies of God. We were born into sin. God is holy, therefore we're an enemy of God. Even though God created this world and all that is, those heavens we talked about, okay? He created the first and second heavens last week, okay? He created all that is. He spoke it into existence. And we're not going to the dinosaurs today, but in six literal days, all right? 6 literal days. All right? This system was created by God, yet it fell into a state of sin because man sinned. And so the system is opposed to God. We are enemies of God. We are born into sin. We are born with a sinful nature. We are born with that fallen nature of Adam. We are enemies of God. So the system is opposed to God. The system is also opposed to His Word. I've never known a time, okay, when His Word was more mocked, ridiculed, questioned, analyzed, dispelled than this time. Even among those who would profess to be Christian. So the system is opposed to God, the system is opposed to His Word, and the system is opposed to His people. Are you following the news today, folks? Christian children are being beheaded. And I'm sorry that the kids are here, but their heads are being impaled on spears and paraded as a victory dance. Why? Because they're Christian. Because they are of Christ, followers of God. And so that's going on in the world. I came across a map this week, startling map, of the places in the world where Christians are being persecuted. All of China was colored in. 1.3 billion people, give or take. India was colored in. We've heard from Dr. Sam when he's been with us in the past. The Hindu is the predominant religion there. It's colored in. 1.1 billion people, give or take. Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world, colored in. Christians are persecuted there. All of Far East Asia, the Vietnams, the Malaysians, and all those, severe persecution. North Korea was the darkest color that they had for depicting Christians who are being persecuted. Then you go down into the Middle East, the stands, those countries around the Black Sea and all, they were all colored in. Then you have Syria and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Northern Africa, all of the Sahara region of Africa, all color, persecution, Bangladesh, Scott, all across that region where Christians are being persecuted. Colombia, South America was also one. The United States, most of Latin America and Europe were about the only places that weren't. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. This week, walk into a meeting. I don't care what kind of meeting you're in, okay? Walk into a meeting and sit and just say, could I open in prayer in Jesus' name? Right? We banished him from the schools, okay? We banished him from the marketplace. We have promoted that which is the antithesis of who he is in this country. Folks, why isn't our persecution on the level of these other countries? It is going to be. And I'm not some kind of, you know, person that likes to experience pain. It's just who we are. There's a subliminal persecution in our land today that's going to perk to the top. I would imagine in some of your lifetimes, maybe mine as well. The system where these guys are from, where we're from, is opposed to God, His Word, and His people. Jesus is going to tell him over in chapter 8, verse 44, you're kin to the devil. He's going to describe them as your father, the devil. That's up against it, right? That's what he's saying to them. You are kin to the devil. He said, that's where you're from, okay? You're from below. He said, I'm from above. Fellas, I'm not from Galilee. That's where they think he's from. I'm not from Galilee. I'm from above. I'm from that abode of God, that third heaven we talked about last week. The creator of all that is, I'm from him. I was with him before the foundation of the world. I'm just here for a little while. And I'm going back to him. I'm not from here. I'm from above. My home is with my Father. That's where I'm going. And you cannot come. We're polar opposite, fellas, is what he's saying to them. We're polar opposites in every way. In location, you're from below, I'm from above. In destination, I'm going away to my Father, you are going to your father, the devil. Inception, you are temporal, you are born into sin, I am eternal, born without sin. We're not the same. We don't have anything at all in common. You will die in your sins, I will die for your sins, and the sins of the whole world. And so to this, in this conversation, the Pharisees ask, who are you? Who are you? That question is only asked by those who don't know someone. I get to do that every Sunday morning, and I'll say, hi, my name is John Wheeler. Who are you? Okay? And a lot of times the person will look back, the same person I was the last 4 weeks you asked me that question. Don't laugh at old people, okay? That's not polite, all right? If we don't know somebody, we ask, who are you? If we don't recognize somebody, you know, somebody that's lost a lot of weight or changed their hair, we don't recognize them. And then we ask that question, when we just don't understand who somebody is. I think that last is what these guys are asking. Who are you? What does Jesus say to them back? Just what I've been telling you. I mean, you can see the dismay in their voices, they're hearing, and you can see the person I've been telling you, that's who I am. I've been telling you. But they don't see, because they are spiritually blind. They are spiritually blind. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. Jesus is saying, everything I am, everything I'm saying is from him. I am from God. I speak what God is saying. I have much to say about you. I have much to judge, he said in our passage. I'm saying to you what I have heard the one who sent me has said. I and my message are from the Father. That's who I am. They still don't understand because they're spiritually blind. They cannot see. What causes a person to be spiritually blind today? This is where you'll want to tune in to answer those questions about those people through your life, maybe now, that you just, why, how, who could do that, those kind of things, okay? What causes a person to be spiritually blind? A person who is spiritually blind, stay with me, is spiritually dead, okay? Those two go together. A person who is spiritually dead is spiritually blind, and a person who is spiritually blind is spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in them. A person is spiritually blind because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, does not live in them. He is not in residence in their life. Jesus said, I'm going away, and when I go, I'll send another like me, and he will be in you. He's talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Now, he either lives in you or he does not live in you. And he doesn't come and go when he wants to or when you want him to. He lives in you. The desire is that he fills you. As we mentioned some weeks ago, Paul said over there, Don't be drunk with wine to endure excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God's will is that we be dominated, controlled in every way by God the Holy Spirit. But if He doesn't live in you, He can't fill you. You with me? He has to come and take up residence in your life. And when that happens, you have believed in Jesus, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And now you are spiritually minded because you're indwelt of the Holy Spirit, and you can see spiritually. You have spiritual sight. Or you don't. And a person who is spiritually blind has no spiritual sight because the Spirit doesn't live within them. That's why you can share with somebody who is yet to believe, and they'll look at you just like these Pharisees. Who? What? Lost? Say, what are you talking about? It's another language. They can't understand. And so when you take a stand against whatever, those people around you are saying, I don't get it, man. Everybody believes or everybody is, and you're different. Why are you? They can't understand. That's why, folks, if they're not saying that, those who are spiritually blind, if they're not finding that you are a direct contrast to them, there's a problem. And it's not with them. Are we communicating? Huh? There has to be a difference. Because you are different. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They are controlled by the old nature. And you and I were as well. Until the old man died. Romans chapter 6. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And once you're a new creature, you can't become an old creature again. When you're an old creature, you can become a new creature. But it's not a two-way street. All right? And no U-turns. Though some lives maybe look that way, I don't know. So a person is spiritually blind because the Spirit does not live in them. Spiritually blind individuals don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. How many times have you heard Jesus say that? Having ears to hear. Having ears to hear. Okay? That's what He's saying. You got to have ears to hear. You're not going to understand this because you're not spiritually minded individuals. Spiritually blind individuals focus on self. They are given to self-interest. Everything is filtered through self. It is not filtered through the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. See, as a spiritually minded person, everything that you think, everything you say, everything you do lines up automatically with the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. Automatically. Automatically. Because when you're faced with that decision, whatever it is, okay, you know the old deal, what would Jesus do, should be the thing in your mind, okay? I mean, hopefully, if you've been a believer very long, it's automatic. But as you are being sanctified, growing in Christ, it's something probably you're going to have to rehearse. Because those old habit patterns from the life of the old nature, even though the old man is dead, are still going to be there. The flesh is still has those things going on, that kind of thing. And so what would Jesus do here? What does the Word say about this? And continue to do it, but so many of you come to Andy and may say, should I? Is this okay? What about this? Okay? How many of those we get a week, Andy? A lot, okay? Don't hesitate to do that. What do every time you come? Well, according to latest research, no, we don't say that. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Here's what the Word says. Go read the Word. That's what you're supposed to do. You see? And He speaks on every issue. He speaks on every issue. There are some phrases in there, some principles, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, things like that, that cover a lot of things. If eating meat causes my brother to stumble, then I will eat no meat. That covers a whole boatload of stuff right there, okay? And on we could go. And a lot of things are spoken to very directly. So a person who is spiritually blind is focused on self and self-interest, and they don't give a rip what the Word says or what would Jesus do. They're spiritually blind. They're dominated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's where they get their truth, those who are spiritually blind, those who are yet to believe. They depend on the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do I feel like this? Do I want this? Is this something everybody else is doing? That kind of logic goes on. And folks, it's not that they can't help it. That's who they are. Just as you in Christ respond according to the Word and the person of Jesus Christ. Two shifts passing in the night, I would guess. Spiritually blind individuals refuse to believe the Word. They doubt truth. Truth is what God says and what God sees, right? Yes is the answer there, okay? I told you you've been sleeping in the past. We only said that 3,000 times, okay? Truth is what God says and what God sees. And when you speak truth, a person who is spiritually blind means nothing to them. Why would it? Folks, how would you expect a lost person to act? Right? I mean, don't sit there, oh my goodness, that's so corrupt. Folks, that's how lost people act. Okay? Quit grimacing and all that kind of thing about what people do. Find out, first of all, are you in Christ or not? If they're in Christ, you won't see them doing it. Does it make sense? Are we communicating? And so that's why all this contention in our country today. Two ships passing in the night. Spiritually blind individuals are consumed by the cares and concerns of this world. Basically, the flesh. Getting enough to eat, getting enough to drink, having fun, being happy. Parents, eliminate that from your goal list for your kids. Okay? Well, I want my kids to be happy. No, you don't. What is that anyway? Except somebody who is continuously gratifying the lust of the flesh. I'd substitute a goal for you if you would like. Okay? I want my kids to be like Christ. That one will make it. Be happy, though? I don't think so. You know why I think we say that? It takes pressure off us. If our kids are happy, that means they're successful. And if they're successful, then I'm a big deal. Right? Yeah. Let's see what Jesus said here next, okay? That's what a spiritually blind person looks like. Does that help you understand some of those people in your lives that you just can't figure out where they're coming from, why they're doing what they're doing, etc., etc.? Does that help any at all? How would you expect a lost person to act? The cure for spiritual blindness Jesus talks about here is when the Son of Man is lifted up. Did you see what he said there? They didn't understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Folks, it's only when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is lifted up and we believe that his blood was shed for our sins, then and only then do we have spiritual sight and we can see him for who he is. You see that? He said, when I'm lifted up, then you will know that I am He. People today who are spiritually blind don't know who Jesus is. Good teacher, prophet, guy lived a long time ago, all those kind of things. No. He is very God. God in the flesh, who died on the cross for your sins and mine. And when He is lifted up, and when one looks on the crucified Christ and believes on Him, then they have spiritual sight. Then you will know that I am He. Then you will know that I'm from the Father. And let's close this morning with this, okay? I was studying through this week, and this just came off the page to me, okay? I believe that Jesus is teaching what those who are not spiritually blind, what their characteristics will be, okay? Now, here's where I'm coming from. When you believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay, His blood covered your sins. You are holy in God's eyes. You are justified. You've never sinned. You are being sanctified, and one day you will be glorified, okay? Done deal. No do-overs. No need to have do-overs, okay? And you are in Christ Jesus. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You with me? That's who you are if you have believed in Jesus Christ, okay? You are also spiritually minded now. And since He lives in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and since you are in Christ, for the forgiveness, the redemption of you, okay? Jesus talks about some things in verses 28 and 30 that I believe describe us if we are in Christ Jesus. He says there in these verses, and we won't go to each verse here, but He says in these verses, if we are not spiritually blinded, we see Jesus as the sacrificial Son of God who died for the sins of the world. We see Him as that. Not as a good teacher, not as a way to get ahead in the business world of my community. No, none of that stuff. We see Him as the sacrificial Son of God who died for the sins of the world. If you are not spiritually blind, then you, like Jesus, do all things under the authority. You do all things under the authority of the Father, not in your strength or ability. That word bothers us, doesn't it? Authority. We don't like that word today, okay? We don't like that word today. Folks, authority is a big word in God's vocabulary, okay? It's an important part. And Jesus Himself sees Himself under the authority of His Father. Then, if we are not spiritually blind, see the authority of God in our lives. You don't like that, do you? We want to be the boss, don't we? I'm sorry, you can't be. When you came to Christ, Lord and Savior, you say, well, I just kind of want the Savior stuff, you know? And I still want to just, you know, lock in things for eternity and then kind of just do my own thing. No. That's the statement of a lost individual. Lord, boss, authority, and Savior. And Jesus here said that, then you will know that I am He. I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So Jesus, God the Son, spoke under the authority of God the Father. Folks, if that's who lives in us, we do the same thing. We speak under the authority of God the Father, not in our strength or our ability. If you are not spiritually blind, you, like Jesus, speak only what the Father says. We don't logically conclude. We don't analyze. He said, well, I've got a mind. God gave me a mind. He expects me to use my mind. It's a renewed mind, and a renewed mind is only about Him. Okay? What does God have to say about the wisdom of this world? Foolishness. Foolishness. You, like Jesus, speak only what the Father says, not what you think, what you want, what you analyze, all that kind of thing. You know that the Father and the Son are one. Jesus said that I do nothing in my own authority but speak, and He who sent me is with me. We're one. We were one before the foundation of the world. We're still one. I'm going back to Him. You know, like Jesus, that the Father and the Son are one. And I like this one. Verse 29. If you are not spiritually blind, you know that He is with me. You see that? And He who sent me is with me. Folks, we have that same testimony. He's with me. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I don't care where you are today. You can be in the worst possible health condition you can imagine. Look up. He's with you. You can be in a home situation that is just the pits. I mean, it is beyond crisis. Look up. He's with me. You may have just lost your job this week. How am I going to pay the bills? He's with me. Wherever you are, in whatever situation, Jesus is going to the cross. They're going to nail Him to the cross. They're going to beat Him beyond recognition. He is with me. Oh, folks, when you are not spiritually blind, like Jesus, you see Him and you see and know that He is with me. And in this last statement, He says, I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Yeah. If He is in you, He, Jesus, then you do only the things that please Him. All right, let's go. We've got a bunch of young people, college students, high school kids, middle school kids and all. Situation, whatever it is. Okay? Everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's not doing it. Okay? But anyway, everybody's doing it. Okay? What do you do? And adults, won't you listen in here a little bit? Okay? Even you folks that are my age or even a little older, if there's anybody here like that. Okay? Any situation, what do you do? If Christ is in you, look, I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. What's that? Let me give you a little deal here. If in doubt, don't. Okay? If in doubt, don't. Because that doubt is created by guess who? He who lives in you. If in doubt, don't. Well, they'll laugh at me. Well, they're going to do worse to you if these are the days I think they are. You won't get invited to the next birthday party, which is probably a good thing. I think what we're doing is fashioning a lot of our adult problems in those birthday parties of today. Because we figure out at a young age, I have to do certain things and act a certain way so the kids at the birthday party like me. What are you teaching your kids? I'm not against birthday parties. Snakes, dinosaurs, birthday parties, Andy, put it on the list, okay? But my point is, we're teaching kids to be social, i.e. do whatever it takes to go along to get along. And folks, today, that's throwing water balloons at a birthday party at the little girls or something like that. But tomorrow, that decision, hey, you want to smoke this? Man, y'all try this. Huh? Let's go out and tie one on. Whatever it is. Those are decisions. You want to get in the back seat? Those are decisions. Those are decisions. How do you raise kids who can make good decisions? Give them practice. Give them practice. We've got a lot of coaches in here. You let them practice. You practice. And so from an early age, start helping them confronted with, I don't want mommy, what do you want me? You're going to decide. You want peas or green beans? I don't know. You got to make a decision. Good decision making is based on practice. Now, you're there to guide them and direct them, those kind of things. But folks, I'll tell you what, if you're trying to live vicariously through your kids and make all their decisions for them, they're coming to a day when you're not going to be there. And for some of you, that's right now. Are you teaching them, as they have come to faith in Christ, whatever you do, always do the things that are pleasing to Him? If they don't live by that conviction, game, set, match. And I thank you for sending your college students to us that were the best little boys and girls at home. They were in Sunday school. They had all the pens. They did Bible drill, okay? I'm not against any of these things, okay? They were president of the youth group. All the teachers at school thought they were the greatest thing in the world. They went to grandma and grandpa's for Sunday dinner. Oh, everybody was so proud of them. And then they go away to college. And I get to meet them. Grandma and grandpa are 200 miles away. So are mom and dad. The youth group, I'm not there anymore. Yaha time! What happened? What happened? They did not live by the conviction that Jesus is talking about. I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of peer group pressure, regardless of whatever, does it please God? Yes or no? Everything's absolute with God. If in doubt, don't. What'd I do? Okay, good, good. We're together, sweetheart. You stay with me, okay? Finally. When you are spiritually minded and live spiritually minded, did you see the last phrase here? As He, Jesus, was saying these things, many believed in Him. Wow! That's it! That's the hope. You see, as people look at your life and my life, and they see what Jesus was doing and saying and teaching here, He didn't give an invitation. Nothing wrong with invitations. He didn't go through the four spiritual laws. Nothing wrong with that. They just heard Him, and they believed in Him. And most people only have one book to read, and that's your life. And my life. Let's pray. Father, once I was blind, but now I see. And so many in this room, Father, give that same testimony today. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Jesus Christ lives within us we have the mind of Christ, your word says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, it repeats. Oh, I pray that everyone here this morning is spiritually minded. Father, it's the last days, I believe. Your word says in the last days, dangerous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Spiritually blind people going through religious activities yet to believe. The Father, so many in this room give the testimony that Jesus was trying to get the Pharisees to believe. And they were two ships passing in the night, but Father, we're on the ship. We're on that ark called Christ. We're not just going the same way as the ship. We're in the ship. And we understand and know because of what you've done in our lives. I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who is spiritually blind, that just like you gave the blind sight, you would give them spiritual sight this morning. And when they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they can see. Call unto them, Father, those who are yet to believe. Give them that spiritual sight that only you can give. We thank you. We love you. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior, Jesus. In your name we pray. As always, Andy and I'll be here at the end of the service. Don't be bashful. If you have something that you want to talk about, we can pray with you.